you've been studying about the man of sin, the son of perdition, the Antichrist, and tonight we're going to look at the desire of the Antichrist, and that is stated pretty clearly in verse 4. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called of God, that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. This is the desire of the Antichrist. And if you look back in the history of Satan, if you will, his desire has always been to overthrow God. You know, in the passage in the Old Testament, I believe Satan was the first five-point Arminian. Because he says five times, I will ascend up to the Most High. I will. And he's saying that he's going to assert his dominance over God and usurp his throne and take over. And God says that he cast him down. Satan will never, ever overthrow God. He will never thwart any of God's purpose or plans. Everything is going just as God has ordered it, even those things that God has allowed Satan to do, to bring glory to God's name. We may not understand the mysteries of all of that, but I can guarantee you that God does everything because it's right. Everything He does is right. And it all redounds to His honor and to His glory. And Satan is envious of God. He's envious of His power, His might, His glory. And he wants to usurp the throne of God. That has been his innate desire ever since he was lifted up with pride and presumed to ascend up to the place of God. And he wants to be worshipped as God. And that's plainly stated here about the aim and desire of the Antichrist. And that desire of Satan will finally be realized on the earth for a very short time during the tribulation period in the person of the Antichrist. He will work in him and through him. Now the Antichrist in verse 4 is revealed as the one who opposes God and who exalts himself above God. His desire is to be the final authority, the one to whom humanity must worship and bow down to. The Antichrist is the ultimate tyrant. He is the ultimate. This is what men want. Evil men want to have all authority, all power, have others worship them, adore them. They want to be in authority. That is satanic, to have that kind of lust for power. And the Antichrist is going to completely fulfill that desire for a short time, that window when God permits it, during the tribulation period. Antichrist will arrive on the scene. And I believe the world has been and is now being primed and they're ready for the man of sin, for the Antichrist, for the son of perdition. Men are looking for somebody who will come on the scene and have the answers to all the world's problems, socially, economically, religiously. And the Antichrist is going to be so deceptive and powerful and charismatic and eloquent that he's going to fit that bill. The world is clamoring for this right now. And he will arrive on the scene. He's going to appear to be someone who is so concerned for people's feelings, for the health and the welfare of the masses of humanity. But his real desire and design will be hidden somewhat until the midpoint of the tribulation. But in the beginning, he's going to present himself as the answer to the world's problem. He'll be an intellectual genius. He'll be a man of eloquence. And like I said last time, we definitely know this ain't going to be Joe Biden because he don't fit that bill. You know, a lot of times people come on the scene and they'll say that the Antichrist is Hitler, the Antichrist is Saddam Hussein, or it's Joseph Stalin, or it's this guy or that guy. Well, if you study your Bible and you find out what the Antichrist, how he's going to be able to speak and talk, we don't have to worry about our president. He don't fit the bill. Well, he ain't going to be it. I can guarantee you that. But look what it says in Daniel chapter 7 and verse 20. It says, "And the 10 horns that were in his hand, and of the other which came up, and before whom 3 fell, even of that horn had eyes and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellow." He is going to be charismatic. He's going to be eloquent. He's going to be a leader that people are going to look up to. It says in Revelation chapter 13, a very similar description of the Antichrist in Revelation 13 and verse 2, "And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him power and seat and great authority." He's going to speak with authority. He's also going to be an economic genius. He's going to say that I've got a way that everybody can have what they need. I believe that the Antichrist is going to be the ultimate global communist. He's going to say, "I've finally figured out an economic system that suits everyone." And you know what? There's a lot of talk about a reset. How that the World Economic Forum is going to, the elites are going to get together and they're going to make it so nobody owns anything and everybody's going to be happy about it, and they're going to solve all of the climate issues. You know, if you remember, John Kerry said that at when they were in Davos, Switzerland, and an elite group that he said had been assembled, "We are here to figure out how to heal the planet, thus elite mind." What an idiot! And yet, people are clamoring for this. People are, they believe it. They're ready for it. I'm here to tell you, men can't fix what's wrong with this world. Only the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, when He comes back, He'll make things right during His millennial reign. It'll be the most glorious, spiritual, wonderful time that the earth has ever known since the Garden of Eden before the fall. But it's not going to come by the workings of elite men or by the leadership of this Superman, Antichrist, who presents and exalts himself as God. Yet people are going to receive him. He'll be an economic genius. He'll also be a political genius. He'll have the support of the nations of the world. Revelation chapter 13. You know, we think, men think they're the ones that are engineering all of this that's coming about. It's all God. It's one of the reasons why I don't get too worried. You know, if you watch the news, which I don't ever do, if you read or are constantly being fed what's going on in this world, it'll worry you. And I learned a long time ago, God's going to make it all right. I'm leaving it in His hands. Now, I want to fight against what's evil. I do know enough about what's going on that I'm not in the dark. But the fact is, my heart, my mind, my desire is on the blessed hope. My desire is to see people saved by the grace of God. Political systems and men cannot do that. Now, Revelation 13:1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power, his seat, and great authority. Now, one of the things that he's going to be able to accomplish, which no one else has ever been able to do among men, is he's going to convince the Jews, the nation of Israel, to enter into a peace pact. And it'll happen at the beginning of Daniel's 70th week. And he's going to promise peace to a land where there has been none whatsoever for thousands of years. And that act alone will bolster his greatness as a world leader. And he'll be such a charismatic leader that the Bible says in Revelation 13:3 that the whole world wondered after the beast. Now, the true desire and design of the Antichrist is going to be revealed at the midpoint of the tribulation period, spoken of by Daniel and Jesus as the abomination of desolation. Turn over to Daniel chapter 9 and verse 27. I just start flipping. When I get past Ezekiel, I just start flipping. I don't know what's wrong with me. Daniel chapter 9, and look at verse... Well, let's read verse 24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. It's talking about the end of sins and reconciliation for iniquity. This is talking about the work of Jesus Christ. Amen. Verse 25, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, and the street shall be built again and the wall even in troublesome time. That's 69 weeks. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. He's going to be killed. He's going to be put to death on Calvary. This is so foreign to Jewish thinking. They thought when the Messiah was coming, he would defeat every other kingdom. That's not till the millennium. The first advent of Christ, the purpose was to come as the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. It's why when he came, John the Baptist announced, Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. That's His first work, is to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. And it says, shall Messiah be cut off, but not for Himself. He dies for others. Again, something totally foreign to the way men think. And then it says, and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. This is the work of Antichrist. And in the midst of the week, in the middle of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate even unto the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. It's talking about the midpoint of the tribulation period, when Antichrist is going to reveal his true intention. He's going to break the peace pact that he had written for Israel, and he's going to set himself up as God in the temple of God. And you know what? People are going to worship him. They're going to bow down to him, and people are going to start executing Jews. Now, look over with me to show you that Jesus backed this up. He believed this was going to happen. Turn over to Matthew chapter 24. See, I believe that there's a literal tribulation period of 7 years because Jesus referred to it. And I don't believe that Matthew 24 was fulfilled in 70 A.D. You know, I'm not a preterist at all. Because there's too many prophecies that have never been fulfilled and won't be until Jesus comes again. But look what it says here. Jesus said this in Matthew 24. And verse 15. Well, let's read verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness and unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Now, I don't care how you cut it. That did not happen by 70 AD. Some say, well, it was all that just the then known world. Now, this, don't you believe that God, who inspired this to be written, knew what He meant when He said all nations, that the gospel would be preached in all nations? At this time, the people that heard this, they had no idea where America, where North America or South America was. They probably didn't have any idea where Greenland was. The gospel is going to be preached everywhere because it's the most important message ever to mankind. In verse 15, he says, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. And then he talks about fleeing. And he says in verse 21, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Jesus said that there's going to be a tribulation period that is going to be unlike anything you've ever witnessed in all of Earth's history. And you know why it's going to be so bad? Because God is going to permit Antichrist to be an idol to the people of the world. And they're going to believe him. He's going to be at the midpoint of the tribulation, the abomination of desolation. At that point in time, the Antichrist is going to show his true colors. He'll break his peace pact with Israel. He'll set himself up as an idol in the rebuilt Jewish temple, and he'll command the world to worship and pay homage to him as though he were God. And you know what the world of depraved humanity is going to do? They're going to gladly fulfill their insane leader's desire. People are by nature idolaters. Listen to what the Bible says in Revelation 13, verses 4 through 6. Revelation 13 gives you a good description, a detailed description of the Antichrist. And they worship the beast, saying, "Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. All right? He's already been in power for 42 months. That's 3.5 years. At the abomination of desolation, when he sets himself up as God, breaks the peace pact, severs ties with the Jewish nation Israel, he's going to set himself up as God. And that's going to continue another 3.5 years. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. The Antichrist will make war and persecute all those who refuse to bow to his authority as the God of the earth. Revelation 13:7, "And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations." And you're saying, well, who are the saints? There's going to be people saved during the tribulation period. Say, how are they going to be saved? Same way you are. They're going to be born of God. They're going to express faith in Jesus Christ. They will refuse to take the mark of the beast. They will be marked and they will be persecuted, and there, I believe there's going to be hordes of people executed during the tribulation period for their faith in Jesus Christ. So there are people that are going to be saved during the tribulation. Now the Antichrist will be so insane and blasphemous, he'll attempt to sit upon a throne that really belongs on earth to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to set himself up in the Jewish temple. And that act of impiety and revolution will be short-lived, because he will be deposed from his reign upon the earth after 3.5 years, when Jesus comes at the end of the tribulation in the second advent to slay his enemies and to set up his millennial reign. Now, our text in 2 Thessalonians 2:4, I think it makes it pretty obvious that the Jewish temple will be rebuilt in order for the Antichrist to set himself up as God in it. Now, I don't get into all the details of this. I just know, just from studying Haggai, that it won't take long to put up a temple if they want to get it done. I've heard that there are plans, people want to rebuild the temple, it's going to happen. There's going to be a restoration of temple worship. And we ought to be thrilled with such news, because it points to the fact that our redemption draweth nigh. And now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. But like, I don't look at these things. I look at for the coming of the Lord Jesus. I don't get bogged down in every little detail of prophecy. I just know this. The last words Jesus spoke were, "Behold, I come quickly." That was a little over 2,000 years ago. You know what? You were to have the same attitude John did.
Even so come, Lord Jesus. I'm ready. I'm looking. I'm waiting. I'm anticipating the coming of the Lord in that blessed hope. I don't believe that I'm going to be under the dominion or the reign of the Antichrist. But God is going to permit him to present himself as the God of this world to the nations of the world. And Jesus is going to ultimately defeat him. It's already a done deed. It's not like we're really anticipating this as a big boxing match. He's going to slay him with the word of his mouth. And he's going to be we're going to get into this. It's one of my favorite parts of this whole study, how that the Lord is going to smite him just with the word of his mouth. I look forward to that day. Amen. Let's all stand.
Page number 8.